Many of the armed militias in Africa kill elephants and rhinoceros to raise money for their civil wars, attempted coups, cross-border strikes, and overall survival in the bush. The heads of government outside the continent now agree with African leaders and wildlife conservationists that it's time to take action. 50 heads of state were invited to London in April to stop the $20 billion illegal trade in wildlife. Who are these armed bands of rebels turned poachers? A Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, Brooke Darby, offers a few names.
There are indeed some links between terrorist groups as well as some of the criminal networks that are engaged in other types of criminal activity, whether it's narcotics trafficking or money laundering, what have you, who are also involved in the wildlife trade. Al-Shabaab, the Lord's Resistance Army, the Janjaweed, those are among the entities that we believe are involved in wildlife trafficking in some way or another.
Many rebel forces plunder herds easily within their reach, such as the rhinos and elephants that share their refuge in the jungles of Virunga National Park. But Sudan's infamous Janjaweed travel greater distances to slaughter elephants in Mali, says Patrick Bergen, chief executive officer of the African Wildlife Federation and a member of the President's Wildlife Task Force Advisory Council.
The situation that I'm thinking about is in northern Cameroon in a park there. The Janjaweed people on horseback and with arms going over state borders, moving between different countries, basically just sweeping into a park area and slaughtering tens or hundreds of elephants and collecting the ivory and being gone again like the wind.
The Janjaweed raids on Buba and Jida National Park have been going on for years, but with less killing than in the past, Bergen said.
This happened in the last 6 months, and it's not something that could happen very many times because the elephant population simply wouldn't sustain it. The elephant population is not that large to begin with.
John Calvelli of the Wildlife Conservation Society lists a relative newcomer to the wars of Central Africa, the mostly Muslim Seleka Force, under the leadership of Michel Djotodia. They overthrew the Central African Republic's president, Francois Bozize, in Bangui, and held the country for about a year. Recently, retreating Seleka forces struck at a national park in Sangaembere, which has been managed by the World Wildlife Fund for over 20 years.
Well, this is a quite recent. This happened in the last 6 months, and it's not something that could happen very many times because the elephant population simply wouldn't sustain it. The elephant population is not that large to begin with.
A major wave of poaching has been moving across Africa from west to east and north to south, says Calvelli. Humanitarian groups that track evidence of genocide by armed militias have also seen those trends. Some have joined forces with environmentalists. A well-known humanitarian group examined the work of an armed militia in an animal refuge in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
We've been working in CAR and Zangabai for over 20 years. One of our scientists has been embedded in that site monitoring this bay where literally hundreds of elephants come together. The Seleka Front was coming through this area, and our scientists had to be evacuated, and they killed over 26 elephants in the span of a couple of days. It would have been worse but for the actions taken by the Gabonese government and others to help stop that. The Enough Project sent two researchers in to the Garamba National Park in Congo to see how Joseph Kony, the Lord's Resistance Army, was funding its activities. They came back, and their studies from June 3rd of 2013, they came back and said one of the ways that we have to stop Joseph Kony is by making the sale of ivory illegal.
Many of those interviewed called their charges anecdotal information, which critics say reveals how little those who would enforce anti-poaching laws really know what happens deep inside Africa's protected areas. The State Department's Darby says there is a lot about the dynamics of wildlife trafficking that authorities do not know for certain. However, she says there is good evidence pointing to the identity of the poachers.
There is actually some evidence of military elements from some countries being involved in this trade. It's discussed a little bit in the report that was prepared by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That's something we're concerned about. And similarly, it's corruption that helps to aid this trade. If you don't have corrupt border officials, customs officials, other officials in governments, it makes this trade very much harder. So dealing with the corruption side of the house is also something that we are focused on.
A former U.S. Justice Department prosecutor of many wildlife cases, John Webb, says the battle against Africa's poachers will have to be fought by the continent's national governments.
The overarching impediment to effective enforcement against poaching and trafficking is corruption. And I'm going to make a bad joke here, but that's the elephant in the room.
Webb is also aware of the challenges for non-African governments. He's a member of the President's Advisory Council on Wildlife Trafficking with a long experience in interagency cooperation. It's not just a conflict between cops and criminals, he says. That's because, as Webb cautions, cops do not trust each other. I'm William Eagle in Washington.